The Korean Thrive Podcast, episode 66, Expectations versus Reality.
I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning.
Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the show for another week. What's been happening in your life this week? I hope it's been a good week for you. I had a wonderful weekend. We had a couple of our dear friends come and visit for our winter feast. So we made a kind of traditional Christmas meal. But we didn't want to call it Christmas in July, so we just made a winter feast. And we had all these visions of having a beautiful big feast with the fire on in the cold outside. Of course, it happened to be the day where we had an unseasonable hot spell in the middle of winter, and it was 28 degrees Celsius, which for some of you is probably like super summer temperatures, definitely spring temperatures here. So that was a bit of a shame. However, the meal was still delicious. Nick outdid himself and made a beautiful, beautiful meal and a beautiful cherry trifle for us all in the English style. Slightly modified. I doubt they would normally go for cherries, but we did, and it was delicious. And yeah, just hung out and kind of had some time with our friends, which was lovely. That was pretty much all we did all weekend. And then, well, on Sunday, I lay in my hammock for a few hours and read a book, so that was nice as well. I take that Sunday off completely. I don't get online. I don't check my email. I don't look at Facebook or anything. I actually try to literally stay off the internet so I'm not sucked into anything. You know, I never turn my computer on. And if I need to, for some reason, turn my internet on my phone, I try to be really dedicated and not look at any of the notifications, just ignore them. And it's really nice to have that day kind of switched off from the connection and the outside world and any sort of obligations. You know, it's nice to have the time to be just with yourself and with your friends and with your family. So, you know, I talk about that in an earlier podcast about having a digital sabbatical and then, you know, using that to modify the way that you interact with your devices. You know, I used to be a huge addict. I was on it all day, every day. But that definitely has changed over the last few years, and it's been a good thing. Before I start this week's episode, I just want to tell you guys about something exciting that's happening starting next week. I have decided to run my Photo A Day Challenge CT Month in the Life again in August this year. Some of you who've been around for a while may remember it from August 2014. I had a great time and we had thousands of participants. It was really, really awesome. I meant to run it last year, but time just got away from me. You know, I was traveling in Europe and England last year around this time of year and it just didn't happen. So I've had it on my list to remember to do it this year and it's going to go ahead. So that all the info is on the blog. It's a challenge for makers and creators specifically, and it's designed to help you share different parts of your work life with us. You know, it's especially if you struggle with ideas for what to share on Instagram or social media, this will be a really good challenge for you because you get 31 prompts, one for every day, of different ideas for things to take photos of and share with us. There's no prizes or anything. I'm not doing this, you know, to sell anything or give anything away or whatever. I'm just doing it for fun. So, you know, the prize is participation and being part of the community and getting to know new people. I know a lot of folks kind of made new connections and built new relationships through it last time. So I'm really hoping that happens again. So to take part, it's really easy. There's over on the blog and on, of course, the Create and Thrive Instagram account. Keep your eye on that. There's a list of prompts. So I tell you ahead of time what they're going to be. And then every day I'll post the day's prompt to remind you on Instagram to do your photo. And you just take a photo related to that day's prompt and share it on your Instagram and push it through to your Facebook and you know, share it on Pinterest and wherever else you want to share it on Snapchat, whatever. It's a good opportunity to you know, take new photos of new things and share it with your audiences. And you just tag me at Create and Thrive and use the hashtag CT Month in the Life. And that way we can all check out each other's photos and what everybody's doing. And then every day I choose my four favorites for the day and reshare them on the Create and Thrive Instagram account. So you could get featured on the Create and Thrive Instagram account as well. So I hope you decide to jump on board and take part. It's going to be really good fun. It starts August 1st, Australian Eastern Standard Time. So for some of you, it'll be Sunday, your time. And don't worry about that too much. Just, you know, share when it's the day on your time. I'll kind of leave things long enough so that I'll catch everybody's photos before I choose what I'm going to share. So yeah, just take the photos and share them when it's that day in your time. And let's have some fun, basically. So as I said, head on over to the blog, createandthrive.com. And look for the challenge post if you want to find out all the details. So today I want to talk to you about expectations, specifically expectations versus the reality. You will find as you grow in your business that you have a lot of expectations about what is going to happen, about how things are going to go, and you'll often find that the reality is quite different. So I want to touch on today a number of potential expectations that you might either have had or will have in the future or have right now about business, because, you know, I think stress and disappointment often comes from this a disconnect between our expectations versus the reality of a situation. You know, so much worry and stress is in the junction between those two things, because we think things are going to be one way and they end up being a different way, and that makes us sad or upset or angry or whatever it may be. But in other words, it messes with our contentment and our joy. And I think getting realistic about things is incredibly important, because that reduces that disconnect between expectations and reality and means that you'll be more content and more happy in your business and your work. And it goes for, you know, this goes for everything in life, doesn't it? You know, relationships, our houses, the things we own, the things we do, our children, our families, our friends, random strangers on the street. You know, we get upset when they don't do what we expect them to do or what we think they should be doing, right? And the same goes for ourselves. We get upset with ourselves when we're not doing what we expect ourselves to be doing and we let ourselves down. And there's a fine line, you know. Sure, we can change ourselves and we should work on ourselves so that we, you know, move towards the things that we expect out of ourselves. But we need to make sure those expectations are realistic and not unrealistic expectations that we've picked up from somewhere that just are never going to happen. So let's talk about that in the context of business. We'll begin with the first one, which I know everybody will kind of resonate with. And the first expectation is that you will get everything on your to-do list done. That might be today's to-do list or this week's to-do list or this year's to-do list. And we push ourselves with this expectation that if we write it down, we have to get it done. If you are the sort of person who does do that and actually gets everything on your to-do list done all the time, I bow down to you. You are definitely a master of time management. I am not that person. I'm pretty good, but I'm not perfect, and I certainly don't fulfill this expectation all the time, and I'm guessing most of you don't. And I think it's important to realize that that's okay. It's one of the reasons I use Trello, which is the software I use to actually write down everything I need to get done in a week or a day or whatever. The nice thing about it is that every item on that list can be dragged and dropped somewhere else. So if I don't get it done today, I just drag it to tomorrow and then it'll get done tomorrow. Or, you know, if something's been hanging around on my Trello to-do list for a long time, I say, okay, well, there's for some reason I'm not doing this. Why am I not getting this done? Is it because it's frightening or scary or overwhelming? And if it's any of those things, it's time to analyze why. and try to break down, if it's overwhelming, try to break it down into smaller chunks and do those individually. If it's scary, try to face why it's scary and if there's something I can do to make it less scary. But it might also be that it's just something that I kind of pie in the sky that I'd like to do, but it's not really that important in the long run, and that's why it keeps getting pushed aside. So those are the sort of decisions you need to make when your things keep cropping up over and over again on your to-do list. Is it because you don't actually need to do them, or is it because you're afraid of them or they seem overwhelming? I think, you know, you might berate yourself and say, oh, I'm just lazy, I'm not getting it done. And that might be true. I don't know you. Maybe you are. I know I can be lazy sometimes and, you know, 4 o'clock rolls around and I'm like, oh, I just really like to stop now and go read my book. And sometimes I do, and that's okay because I'm self-employed. I have the freedom to do projects on my own timeline. But at the same time, I have customers and students and I need to do what's best for them. So sometimes you don't necessarily, you know, you get to the end of the day and you're tired, and as much as you care about your customers and everybody out there, you just don't have the energy. So knowing those sort of things and being honest with yourself, but also being gentle with yourself are important. So not, you know, I don't think there's anyone in the world who always gets everything on the to-do list done. If you are that person, let me know. I'd like to hear what your secret is. But for everybody else, just relax about it and realize that that's the case. But at the same time, get realistic about why things aren't getting done. And this leads into my second point, which is the expectation that you're going to have enough time to get everything done that you want to get done. And that is absolutely not true. You just won't. You know, we all have more ideas than we have time to implement them. And it might be that those ideas are these things on your to-do list that keep getting pushed off because you're just simply too busy with everything else that's going on. You're too busy fulfilling orders, answering emails, doing the social media that you do, that these bigger projects or these kind of pie-in-the-sky ideas never come to fruition. And, you know, it's a truism in life that you can't make more time. The only way you can get more time to do these projects is by stopping doing other things. You know, you need to actually give up some other things in your life to if you want to make more time to do these other projects. So you'll never have enough time to do everything you want to do. That's the kind of base thing we need to realize here. And then from that reality, you need to step back and actually look at the things that you've planned and the ideas you have and the goals and dreams you have and think, okay, well, how much time do I really have to devote to these things and which ones are most important, and then prioritize them. Along with this is the, you know, the expectation that things will take the amount of time that we decide they're going to take. You've probably heard the saying that a task will expand to fill the time allocated for it, and that's very true. If you give yourself a month to do something, it'll take you a month to do it. If you give yourself a week to do something, it'll take you a week to do it. So, you know, you really need to be realistic about that and say, well, okay, I think this thing is going to take me 10 hours to do, and I'm going to get it done in the next 2 weeks. Is that realistic? Because chances are, The kind of flip side of this is that tasks or projects usually take a lot longer than we think they're going to take. So if you allocate 10 hours for something, you're probably going to find it's going to end up taking 15 or 20 hours because stuff will go wrong or things will go missing or you won't have that bit that you need or you'll need to do research on this new thing that you're trying, and that'll all blow out the time that your project takes to do. So, you know, those two things go hand in hand. You know, tasks will expand to the time you give them, but at the same time, they'll take longer than you think they're going to take. Let's talk about, you know, success and profitability for a minute here. I see so many people getting frustrated and upset because they start their business and expect it to be a huge success with it and profitable within, say, gosh, some people think it's going to happen in like a month or two. Other people think maybe 6 months or a year. And honestly, if you look at most businesses, that's just not the case. You know, Ethereal wasn't profitable in the first year at all. I barely broke even. You know, I don't think I even covered my expenses in the first year. And that didn't count my time. That just literally the money I spent on raw materials and tools and things, because I was in the development phase. You know, I was buying lots of materials to try lots of new things. I had to buy tools as I discovered new techniques I wanted to try. I had to pay for a course that I wanted to do. You know, it's always, you know, at the beginning, you're always going to be spending more money than you expect because there's all these new things that you have to kind of buy or get. And at the same time, you're not going to be making as much money because you're not going to be selling as much as you will later on in the business. So just let go right now of the idea that your business is going to be profitable straight away. Yes, it's possible, but it's unlikely. And holding yourself up to that standard is going to stress you out and it's going to make you feel like giving up because you're going to have this weird idea in your head that, oh my God, I'm not making money. I'm 3 months in, 6 months in. It's failing. It's not working. That's not necessarily the case. And in fact, it's probably not the case. You know, businesses take time to grow. They take time to build traction. It takes time to build up a product base. You know, just be aware of that. Don't slack off or, you know, throw your hands up in the air and give up, but be realistic and set a realistic timeline for when you're going to start making a decent amount of money from this business. And if your timeline is less than 6 months or a year, you're probably being very over enthusiastic or, you know, not realistic about it. And I could be wrong on this. You might have the perfect product. You might have years of experience making it. Your business might come into existence fully formed and just be a success from the get-go. And if that's you, awesome. I'm very happy for you. But for most of us who are coming from a hobbyist background, who don't have a lot of business experience and haven't, you know, built the business up prior or have all the plans in place and be kind of savvy about everything, it takes time to learn all of that stuff. And that hopefully you've started your business at the beginning before you know what you're doing, because it's only by trying new things that you'll figure it out. So if you're waiting for everything to be perfect before you start or before you put something up for sale, don't do that. Put it up there and go for it and learn as you go. Another expectation that comes a little bit further along the journey when you've been in business for a while and you've got a level of success and you're getting regular sales is this expectation that once your business has reached a certain level of success, that you're getting regular sales, you'll never have a dry spell again. And the chances are you will. You know, I see a lot of people freak out when they have gotten used to a certain level of sales coming in, and then suddenly they don't get any sales for a day or 2 days or even a week. You know, that still happens to us occasionally in a, you know, Ethereal. There'll occasionally be dry spells where we won't get a sale for a couple of days. And that used to freak me right out. I used to be like, oh my God, my business is failing. Nobody wants to buy anything anymore. And, you know, it's ridiculous because especially when you've been in business for a couple of years, you've got hundreds or thousands of sales under your belt. They've bought stuff before. People will want to buy stuff again. It's not like it's suddenly going to vanish or disappear. So you just have to be accepting of that. And it'll get easier as your business grows and you go through these dry spells over and over again. It'll get easier to relax into it and know that there's a rhythm and a natural rhythm to business and that it's okay and that things will pick up again. And at the same time, there's two wonderful things you can do when you have this dry spell. One is use the time to promo your business even more and try to, you know, kickstart things again. So, you know, maybe an extra blog post or some more social media or more something to send an email to your newsletter, whatever it is. The second thing is actually to use that time on business development. So you might want to make some new prototypes. You might want to do a bit of education, you know, read a book, do some workshops, go to a seminar, whatever. Use that downtime for something that will build your business and, you know, help you grow as a business person and a crafts person instead of just sitting there freaking out that you're not selling anything today. So that's a much better use of your time. And knowing the reality that there are ups and downs, like for instance, you know, today I woke up to like five sales from overnight. And last week we had about 3 days where there were no sales as well. Go figure, you know, it's kind of what happens. And I've actually learned in my business that our biggest period of sales during the week is on Sundays and Mondays. And that's because people are shopping on the weekend, you know, for their wedding rings or whatever it is they're shopping for. That's the time that they're doing that sort of stuff, because that's the time in their life where they have a bit of space. So I have, you know, I know that that's every week, our biggest glut of orders is going to come through on Sundays, Mondays. Well, Mondays and Tuesdays our time, because, you know, the US and Canada are behind us. So that's when we're going to get most of our sales. And knowing that is great. And it's not going to be the same for your business. Your business might be something completely different. But you will over time get to know what these periods are and kind of understand them. And, you know, a lot of people who've been in business for a long time will have a seasonal cycle. You know, they might find that certain times of the year, depending on their product, they have a spike in sales. And then, you know, they come to work within that boundary and actually, you know, make sure that their shop's ship shape right before that kind of big time of sales. So another expectation that you might have going into a handmade business or any sort of passion-based business, you know, a business where you're doing something that you really enjoy and you're trying to turn that into a profitable thing, the expectation is that you're going to, once you start this and you get into it, you're going to get to spend all day making stuff that you love to make. That's not true. It's just not. Concomitant to that, you know, that goes along with that, is that you'll get to make exactly what you want to make. Those two things are expectations that you will find are not reality. So let's look at the first one. You'll get to spend all day making stuff that you want to make. When you have a business, especially a handmade business, you will find at minimum 50% of your time is spent not making things. It's spent on answering emails, shipping, packing. It's even filling orders, like making stuff that you have made before, for example. Doing your marketing, doing research, planning. All of those things take time and they take you away from the making and that sort of stuff. So it's a really dangerous expectation actually to have this idea that you'll just get to sit around all day making stuff, because it's not the reality, and that might really hit you hard, because you're probably getting into this because you love making stuff and that's what's driving you. And yes, you will get to spend a decent amount of time making stuff that you love, absolutely. But if you want to have a successful business, you need to realize that it's only going to be half or less, generally speaking, of the time you spend working in your business. And this again will change. Like in the first few years, you'll find it's probably even less, because you're spending so much time trying to work out the business side of things and figure that all of that out and make it work. And that's a wise thing to do, because it doesn't matter how many products you have and how awesome they are, if you're not getting anybody seeing them, if nobody's finding out about them, then you don't have a business, do you? Because you're not making any sales. So that's really important. And the second point there, you know, you'll get to make exactly what you want to make, is also an expectation that is false. When it's a hobby, that is completely true. When you have a hobby, a creative hobby, you get to do exactly what you want when you want, because it's only about you. It's not about anybody else. But when you start turning this hobby into a business, it stops being completely about you and becomes a lot about your customer and your potential customers. And that's a mental shift I've talked about before in previous episodes, and I'm no doubt I'll talk about it again, because it's so important that you need to shift your perspective, you know, and think that you're not just making stuff for yourself anymore. You're making stuff for your customers. And you have to keep that in mind, that sometimes you will end up going in a different direction, because that's where your sales are coming from, and that's where your customers, what they're expecting and what they're wanting. Now, by saying this, I don't mean start making stuff you don't like. Absolutely not. I'm saying that you need to find what I call that sweet spot between what you love making and what people want to buy. Figure out what that micro niche is. There's an earlier podcast on micro niche if you have no idea what I'm talking about, and really run with it and explore that micro niche. And that's probably when you'll find you have the most success and your business takes off. It certainly did for me, and I know it has for a lot of different people. So that's another kind of dangerous expectation to have, is that you can just sit around making exactly what you want to make all day every day, and that's not going to be the case. The next expectation is that you're going to be able to please everyone all the time. And I include yourself in this, that you're going to be able to please yourself all the time and that you're going to be able to please everybody else all the time. That is absolutely 100% not the case. No matter how awesome you are, no matter how nice you are, no matter how understanding, no matter how hard you try to make every single customer 100% happy, it's impossible. You can't make everybody happy all of the time. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try. I'm a huge believer in the importance of customer service and going above and beyond and really building a relationship with your customer, especially in the handmade business sphere. I think it's vitally important to do that. And, you know, my business definitely changed for the better when I put a focus on taking care of my customers and communicating openly and honestly with my customers. So that's really important. But the same point, one day or another, you're going to come up against somebody who's upset or angry or disappointed. It might be your fault. It might not be your fault. It might just be that they didn't read the description properly, and so they didn't see that this thing was this size instead of that size, or this color instead of that color, or they didn't pay attention to the fact that everything's made to order, so it takes a couple of weeks extra than they would have expected to arrive. You know, all of those things are not your fault per se. They are the fault of the customer for not actually doing due diligence and reading the product descriptions and your shop policies. But, you know, we're all human and people have their own expectations. Customers will have their expectations about you and your business. So it's really important to do everything you can to make sure that your customers are completely informed and educated about your products in any way you possibly can to minimize that sort of disappointment. And when it happens, do everything you can to make it up to them while sticking to your own guns. You know, there's a point where beginners, especially in business, will bend over backwards and actually make themselves suffer to try to make somebody happy. And oftentimes, they're just one of those people who you'll never make happy, no matter how hard you try. And as you get better with, you know, as you get in business for longer and you get more experience with different customers, you'll get a sense for that. You'll get a sense for who is upset because they're just going to be upset because that's just their personality, or who is upset and it's something you can actually fix. So, I can't give you detailed advice on that, but it's just be aware that one day you'll have an unhappy customer, and don't take it personally. You know, don't let it get, you know, and I felt this way, you know, especially when I was starting out, my first really unhappy customer, you know, my first one-star review, which has happened to me a couple of times over the years. And it can be really heartbreaking. You can take it really personally. But the thing to remember is, if it's your fault, figure out how to fix it and fix it and then move on because you've done the best you can. If it's not your fault because the customer has misunderstood something, don't ever be snarky or upset about it. Just politely and calmly explain the situation and again, move on and use it as a learning experience and to realize that, you know, this may happen again. And it may be that you haven't communicated something clearly. And that's a lesson that you can learn and then you can fix it. You know, you can change that description. You can add that extra photo in your shop, whatever it may be, but don't let it get you down as much as possible. Don't ruminate over it too much. Just fix what you can fix and move on and learn the lesson. And this kind of, the next one sort of goes from this, and that is the expectation that you will make a horrific mistake at some point in your business. And most of us have this nebulous fear with when we're growing our businesses that something is going to go horribly wrong. We don't know what it is, but we think that somewhere along the line, there's going to be something, you're going to make a huge mistake. Chances are you're actually right and that you will make a huge mistake. But what is a huge mistake? Sending the wrong thing to the wrong customer? I've done that. Just through, not paying enough attention and accidentally swapping two people's orders. Yes, you feel like an absolute idiot, but hopefully it's something you can, something like that's something you can fix by sending the right things to the right people. And generally they'll be okay with that. So something like that, completely undercharging on postage and having to fork out $50-$100 of your own money to get something to a customer because you didn't make sure that the postage costs were right. Yep, it might happen. Your website might completely and utterly crash because you install a plugin that breaks everything. That's happened to me. chances are something will go horrifically wrong at some stage. And you know what? Chances are you're also going to fix it and that it will be okay. So don't let that fear of something going horribly wrong stop you ever. Just if it happens, fix the problem, move on, and know that, stuff happens to everybody and nothing's perfect and everybody makes mistakes. So use it as a learning experience and just get up and get on with things. I kind of touched on this earlier, but I think it's important to really spell it out. And that this is the expectation that you're going to love your work, that you're always going to absolutely love the thing you make. You've fallen in love with this thing that you're creating and that you're always going to love it. And that's why you're trying to make a business out of it. You will not always love it. If you turn your hobby into a business, it's no longer your escape from reality. It becomes your reality. And even more, it becomes what keeps food on the table. Okay, so that completely changes your relationship with this creative thing that you're doing. And that means that it takes on a different feel. I'm not saying that you can't still love it. You will still love it because you loved it in the first place. But there will be days where you don't love it. And that's okay. You're not a freak. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not betraying your art. If you sit down one day and just go, oh, I really just don't want to be doing this right now. I'm over it. You can't love everything all the time. It's just impossible. You might love chocolate cake, but if somebody sat you down and forced you to eat a whole one, you're not going to love it by the end of it. Chances are. Have you ever read Matilda? That happens in Matilda, right? Like somebody's forced to eat a whole, ugh, that was horrible. Too much of anything will turn love into hate. Okay. So it's really important to just be aware of this and go into it with eyes open and think, okay, well, when this happens, when I sit down and I just really don't want to make another thing because I'm over making it, you have to then somehow accept that. Well, the first thing is accepting it. Accept how you feel. Don't fight against it. Don't think you're a bad person or a horrible person because you suddenly don't love it today. Accept that that's how you feel and then change your perspective. So I think I've told this story before, but it's happened to me where I've sat down one day to make a ring, the same design that I've made hundreds of times before. And I'm just like, my brain is just like, I just don't want to do this. I'm bored. I'm overdoing this today. And what helps me in that situation is reframing the moment. So for example, I might get up, I might walk outside and look around, and I'll look around at this beautiful home I have, my beautiful husband, my cat, my wardrobe full of the clothes I like, my Kindle full of the books I love, my fridge full of wonderful food that I've chosen, that I've bought with my own money, all of the things. And all of the feelings and all of the joy that this work, this ring, allows me to have all of these other things. And then I think about my customers. I think about, you know, I'm making this ring for somebody to wear on their hand for the rest of their life as a symbol of the love they have for another human being. Wow. Like, how freaking special, and what an honor it is to be given that task. actually tearing up a bit, because the emotion that that brings out in me is just this amazing feeling of love and gratitude and feeling so thankful that I get to do this thing with my life that's meaningful. It's something small, but it's meaningful and it's a good thing. And that will completely change how I feel about that particular ring and that particular moment and or whatever it is that I'm doing or making. So, you know, same with, Create and Thrive or the podcast. There are weeks where I'm just like, oh God, I'll be honest with you. There are weeks where I'm like, oh God, I have to make another podcast. You know, it's work. I have to think of a topic. I have to sit down. I have to plan it. I have to do the recording. I then have to edit it and upload it. And, you know, there's a lot involved. And some weeks I'll be really busy with other stuff, or I'll just be tired, or I just won't, you know, I won't feel it. I won't be feeling the mojo, basically. But then I have to sit back and reframe that and think, why am I doing this? And what impact might this episode have on somebody or other people's lives? And I can go back and I can read all the wonderful emails you've sent me over the last year and a half, that, you know, where people have told me that one of the episodes has changed their life, or that's completely revolutionized their business, or, you know, they've listened to every single episode. And I'm like, wow, that's just amazing, you know, that I'm actually creating something that really is connecting with people and is making a difference in their lives. Like, how much more can I ask for in this world than to really make an impact and change people's lives for the better? Like, you know, sometimes I think I should be doing more, you know, volunteer work or giving more money to charity than I already do and stuff like that, because I'm not doing enough, you know, in the world. And then I think, hang on a second, that's not my joy. That's not my thing. My joy is this. My joy is teaching. My joy is educating and helping people to do something with their lives that they really want to do. And that's how I give. And that's where I can make the most impact. And so that just completely re-energizes me and really, you know, helps me reframe the work that I'm doing, the mundane little details every single week and every single day. So what you won't always love exactly what you're doing in that moment, you know. You won't always love making what you're making every single moment. There'll be times where it's tiring or stressful or boring, or and that's just the way it is. But if you can reframe that moment and look at the big picture, I promise you it will make a difference. So, you know, that's a really important thing to remember. And the final thing that I want to leave you with here today is a really kind of dangerous expectation, and that is that doing work you love will make you happy. Happiness comes from within. Now, I'm a total believer in not doing work you hate and not doing work that doesn't fulfill you. I think everybody should try to find work that they love, work that lights them up and that allows them to fulfill their dreams and allows them to use their gifts in the world in the best possible way. Yes, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm trying to help people to figure that out. However, that doesn't mean your life is going to be miraculously fixed and that you're going to be happy all the time. You can't rely on any one thing to completely revolutionize your happiness and make you happy all the time. It's just not the way it goes. So, yes, changing your life so that you can do work you love will definitely contribute to your happiness, but it won't solve all your problems and it won't make everything 100% hunky-dory, right? So it's really important not to place too much burden of expectation onto your creative work or your creative business. You know, just realize that it's one part of your life and it can contribute to your happiness, but don't expect it to make everything better if there's other aspects of your life that are challenging and that aren't making you happy. You know, you need to work on all of those things to bring it all together and coalesce it. That said, you know, if you're doing a job you hate or you're doing work that you really don't enjoy, then it's really important to change that. Really important. You've only got, you know, so many days on this planet, and if you're spending them doing something that makes you miserable, then that's a sad thing, and I'm hoping that it can be changed for your benefit and for the benefit of everyone else who could benefit from the things that you create and the stuff that you put out into the world. And think about that. You know, what impact could you be having on the world via the things that you create? Can you be bringing more joy? Can you be bringing more comfort or luxury or safety or fun? Whatever it is that you bring to the world through the stuff that you create, whatever you bring to other people, it's all about the feeling that we can bring to other people. You know, objects, they don't exist. We don't buy them or surround ourselves with them because of the object itself. We choose them or surround ourselves with them because of how it makes us feel, right? So think about that with your work. How are you trying to make people feel? And how are you trying to make yourself feel through creating those things? And just run with that. And I'm hoping it's going to bring a little bit more joy to your life and other people's lives as well. So I'm going to finish there. I think we've touched on quite a lot of potential expectations. I'd love to hear what yours might be. I'm sure there are lots of other expectations you may have about business. Come over and share them with us and we can chat about them. You know, come over to Create and Thrive. Look for this episode. It's episode 66. And we can talk about those expectations and perhaps challenge them and find the reality within them. Don't forget, if you enjoy this episode, to please leave a review, rate, or subscribe, and subscribe, hopefully, if you haven't already, so you don't ever miss an episode. It's really, really lovely always to hear what you think of the podcast. As I said earlier in this episode, it makes a huge impact on me, hearing from you and what you feel and how any particular episode of the podcast in general has influenced your life. Hopefully for the better. That's why I'm doing it. And also, don't forget about CT Month in the Life, our Instagram challenge. Come over and join in. It's going to be heaps of fun. And I can't wait to see a little window into your creative world. Thanks so much for listening, guys, for another week. I'm Jess Van Den. This has been the Create and Thrive podcast. And goodbye for now.